A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Hour number two begins here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the last segment, we got into a really good discussion over the Nick Saban-Jimbo Fisher feud, which is they are shining a light, and I'm also glad this is happening because it's making me feel like maybe there'll be some change for the better in college sports now that Nick Saban is getting involved in Jimbo Fisher, who, remember, he signed that deal at A&M. Everyone was like, what? Was it like 10 years, $100 million or something? It's crazy. But these are two massive universities. These are two massive names in college football, and they are feuding over our NIL and recruiting classes. We already went into length, and we played the clip from Jimbo Fisher. Here was Nick Saban afterwards talking about just the whole scuffle and what had happened up to this point.
You know, I really didn't mean to single anybody out. I apologize for that. But, you know, it's the whole system. And is this a sustainable system? And is it really, you know, good for college football? I think name, image, and likeness is good for college football.
And so that was Nick Saban, courtesy of Sirius XM Radio. I think it was the college sports show that he jumped on.
And ESPNU Radio.
Okay, yeah. And kind of went into a little bit more detail as to what he was trying to talk about. I think he brings up some good points that name, image, and likeness is good for college football, but where this is going is not good for college football.
Yeah, it's the NIL collectives are a problem. And because then you're basically giving power to these boosters. Now, what's funny is that these schools, like Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, they could say to these players that maybe communicate only with the NIL collectives and then say, hey, I'm going to commit, they could turn down the commitment if they wanted to and say, hey, you're not coming here. We didn't, you know, like, we're not promising that. But they always do because a lot of these guys that are getting the bag, the big bag, they're probably future NFL players. So they're always going to take the commitment. It's a real problem in college football. And, you know, it's a situation where, it could lead, I think, to where you're only seeing, you know, maybe 30 or 40 programs that can honestly do this.
Totally.
And maintain it. It's Texas A&M.
That might be high, too. Honestly.
Yeah, and that could be. Texas A&M is really, they're not cheating right now because
they're not. They're doing nothing illegal. And so when Jimbo defends the university, he's right. But to Saban's point, I don't think what A&M is doing is name, image, and likeness.
Right.
I think they're using name, image, and likeness to attract talent.
Well, what's going to be fascinating too, Matt, is that right now this we're still less than a year in from when NIL went into effect and was allowed for NCAA athletes. It went into effect on July 1st of last year. After maybe, let's say, a couple years, like, are all the taxes on the up and up with these deals, you know, the taxes, or maybe will some boosters get burned because a player was just a colossal bust? Do they then pull the funds and never do it again? Like, right now it seems just like there's no end in sight, and it maybe could shake the whole system of college football. I do think it's rattling it to the core right now of college football, and it's making maybe a lot of coaches go, do I want to keep doing this? But I think that there's got to be some sort of rules in place. The problem is that in college football right now, no one's afraid of the NCAA. In college sports in general, no one is afraid of them unless you're BYU and maybe you have a star forward that files the wrong paperwork and then that guy gets dinged for 9 games. That's the only time the NCAA can enforce anything. If you learn anything from BYU people, never admit to anything and never comply with the NCAA. Just deny, 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 because they can't get you.
It's funny you bring that up because I just think about Arizona State and how that's still happening. It's crazy.
Kansas wins the national championship, and Bill Self was part of the wiretaps with the FBI. That guy won the national title, and there's no NCAA sanctions.
You know what's amazing, too, about NIL is it just goes to show in today's day and age, and this doesn't just apply, in my opinion, to sports. I think it applies to all. Good things can be twisted for bad in an instant. It's like social media comes onto the scene. This is awesome. Now, I think the majority of people would say social media is not good. There's like a lot of bad that comes from social media. You know, I remember reading the story a couple months ago where I recently purchased an Oculus, which is a fun virtual reality thing. It's a lot of fun. I love to do the Star Wars things. And some girl got kidnapped from being on a chat room in an Oculus. I'm like, everything good has a bad side to it. And yes. I'm just amazed at how quick that NIL, because it was not that long ago, Mitch, that you and I were singing the praises about how phenomenal this was. And now I've honestly come to the other side because it's being used and abused, and it's no longer about profiting name, image, and likeness for people who have accomplished something that have value because of what they've done in their profession. In this case, the athletes on the field.
Yeah,
it's no longer about that because I was supportive of, hey, you want to use this player to market for season tickets and for home games? He should get a piece. Shayla Gonzalez, you've got a booming YouTube channel and you're great on TikTok. Monetize that. I'm all like, that's what I wanted it to be. And it's like, I don't even see stuff like that happening. It's like, it's all sponsorships and collectives, getting free trucks. Like, it's insane.
It is insane. And I do think, though, it will calm down after a few years. And
you
I think we'll, I think it will. I do. But I think right now there's just a lot of uncertainty because when you have the NCAA losing its power more and more each day and the uncertainty that lies with these conferences, because I think there's a lot of programs that want to maybe get a new home. I'm sure there's some in the Big 12 conference that want to get out as soon as possible and find their way to maybe the Big 10 or whatever it may be. There's just a lot of unrest in college athletics. There's no leadership. Everyone's out for themselves, and it causes this problem. And everyone just defaults to the SEC because they get the benefit of the doubt because they invest more than anyone, and they spend more. So they just have this next level spending because now these NIL collectives are going above board. But I do think it'll calm down after a few years.
Will.
I do. I think it will. I just think that
Think the same about the transfer portal? Now we're at record highs.
I think the portal is a situation, though, where part of it is a lot of the free COVID year. There's this just roster juggling that's happening, and so many teams are trying to maybe trim down the roster, like BYU. There's a lot of issues right now with the portal. I think that'll simmer down, too, because there's more education, more data coming out to let these players know, hey, if you go into that thing, it is not a guarantee that you will have a new spot. You will be in there forever. And there's some guys from BYU's football roster last year that are still in there. You know, like Sione Finau, he's still in there. Jacques Wilson, a guy that graduated, luckily, but he's still in there. Like, it's not a guarantee you will have a new spot waiting for you on the other side of that mysterious portal. So I think that will simmer down, too. I think there's been a lot of things over the history of college football that have seem to indicate this will be the end of the sport, and it always kind of navigates its way through. But I just think that with the element of conference realignment always in the backdrop, the divide that's happening from a financial and resources perspective, it's just nauseating because I think that fans, ultimately, they just want to see toe meet leather, and the games are lining up between the lines in the trenches. That's where it's won. But we always get inundated with TV revenue and this and that. And like, oh, if you don't get X amount of dollars in your TV revenue, well, then you're just a second-rate league and no one should even bother watching. It's like, what have we gotten to in college football? Where it's like, when we were growing up watching college football, no one brought up, oh, the Mountain West Conference is on this TV deal. They only make $1 million per year, so it's just a terrible league. Like, come on, we still watched because it's college football. We love the sport.
Can I also say, though, remember a few weeks ago when Kalani, I can't remember what show he was on, but he basically...
Sirius XM,
and he made a comment, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm sure we have it somewhere, but basically that, you know, money's not always the answer. Like, if you take a date to Ruth's Chris on the first date, you go to the Bahamas on the second date. He got some flack for that in the college football world. And I thought it was really interesting that Nick Saban echoed a similar sentiment.
I think a lot of these coaches fall in line with what Nick Saban said. Because really, no lies detected, as the meme would suggest. Like, there was really no lies in his statement. It's just, it was a little bit volatile by Nick Saban's standards, and you're talking about the greatest coach to ever do it. It was like, whoa, it's one thing when it comes from a guy like, let's say, Lane Kiffin, who's just always joking around and saying all these crazy takes. So another thing when it's coming from Saban, the man that's won 7 national titles and is considered better than Bear Bryant. Like, it's like, whoa, it just hits a little bit different when it's coming from him. And, you know, like, imagine like Lavelle. In this day and age.
Oh, my.
Can you imagine?
He wouldn't have done it. You know it.
Holy cow. Like, he was ready to get out because sports radio was becoming a bigger thing. And the news cycle was becoming a bigger thing. That was in 2000. That was 22 years ago. He was getting fed up with it then. I am just so glad that Lavelle never had to experience this type of stuff. Like, I'm just like, because his style of coaching, I just don't know if that would work. Maybe it would. I don't know because, you know, Kalani's got some attributes similar to Lavelle. But, man, I'm glad that a guy like Lavelle didn't have to put up with this stuff because it's a headache. These coaches, I don't know how they just have a peaceful night's sleep anymore because there's just so many things that are going through your head that could possibly happen that maybe could derail your entire team. I mean, you could have a moment. So it's like, say, Jaren Hall got one day upset. Like, again, just hypothetically here. He could get upset and just say, I'm going to the portal. Like, that's always an option for these guys. It's a difficult thing, and Kalani has done a better job than most because I think BYU is a unique place, but headaches that these coaches deal with, it's unreal.
The thing that helps BYU, too, let's be real here, Mitch, is they have a lot of athletes that are of the LDS faith. They have a lot of return missionaries. They have a lot of people on the program that I think view college as more than just football. Football is not just an avenue. That's the only way to a successful life is football. I think BYU has a well-rounded student, especially student athlete, that I think aspires to, yes, the NFL, yes, the NBA, but a lot more than that. And I think that really benefits them when navigating these type of challenges.
Yeah, last year BYU football in their program, not on the roster, but in the program, so you're talking missionaries that were out in the service field and on the team, 85 guys that have either served missions or were serving missions last year. I mean, you served a mission. It's like you get stripped down to basically nothing.
Yep.
Like, you have nothing to your name other than you're serving, you know, the church and for 2 years where you're doing everything you can. So it's like it does give you perspective. I've always felt that, you know, the coaches out there that knock BYU and say, oh, they got these 30-year-old men in the trenches and they got 3 kids and they got a mortgage. Like, if it was that big of an advantage, you go do it. You know,
yeah.
Why doesn't Saban say, hey, go do a Peace Corps trip for 2 years if it's such an advantage? You're not doing it because it's not an advantage.
Yep.
But it also does give BYU an advantage from the perspective of it does give a lot of these guys perspective. Like, there's more to just simply
a much smaller percentage of players at BYU would pull the stunt that Miami player pulled where it was, I got to have more NIL, otherwise I'm out of, like, that's just, I don't think that's ever going to be a thing.
It is hard. I can't wrap my mind around the idea. Maybe it will happen. Maybe we will see a recruit land some mega deal. But I struggle to think, like, BYU's going to prize some transfer portal guy for $800,000, like Miami has for a college basketball rotation guy. Like, I just don't see that. It's like, that's where you get concerned because you're seeing so many programs play a different game, and then you go, for BYU, where do they fit in all this? Because They're doing NIL, but it feels like they're trying to do it the way that it was intended for.
Yep. Speaking of missionaries, let's talk about missionaries who might affect BYU football in a positive way this fall. We'll do that next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.